Because I believe a man is supposed to take care of his woman. I don't care how much money your woman make. A man is supposed to have his mind set on taking care of his woman.
I want to talk. I mean, this, you know, this may be a bit crude, but I mean, I don't know no other way to say it. I want to talk about booty calls. Well, hello. This is Pastor R.C. Blakes, and
this is Lisa Blakes.
We're so glad to be able to talk to you tonight. Lisa and I decided, since at the time we're filming this, we are in what is called quarantine in the United States of America, and in a lot of the world, people are quarantined. We are kind of locked into our personal spaces. And so for Lisa and I, our world has been for the last month from the house to the church. We're sitting in the New Home Family Worship Center, Houston Sanctuary. So I've been holed up here with my wife. And so we decided, since so many families are at home, that we would just take this study time and address the family. And for those of you that are not aware, many years ago, what year was this, Lee? I think this is like 2000, if I'm not mistaken. We wrote this book entitled God's Playbook for a Winning Family. This is the first book that that I ever wrote was 2003. This is the first book that I ever wrote, and it happens that it was a book written by Lisa and I. Look, see how young we were? This was before these children and these grandchildren did all of this to us. Don't let these people do this to y'all. And this was written for the purposes of empowering the family to function successfully. And so I thought, Lee, we thought that there's no better time than now. And just to prove to you how old this is, here's the, this is what we used to be on national television, and this is what we mailed out. These are called, some of the young people are like, what is that? These are called cassettes. Cassette tapes. And we were mailing this out all over the United States of America. This was our hottest seller. And in 2005, was it, that Katrina hit?
Yeah.
And Katrina messed up the whole situation.
That's
God knew what he was doing, just like he knows now. But in God's Playbook for Winning Family, you want to talk a little bit about the concept?
Well, in God's Playbook, we kind of deal with the family using the structure of a team, and so more specifically, football team. You know, we love football. We're a football family. And so we thought it just so perfect to use the analogy of a football team to kind of break down the components of family and how we operate as a team together to make it a winning team.
A winning team, because, you know, every family, every nuclear family, husband and a woman and man come together, don't function necessarily effectively as husband and wife, and they don't necessarily function well as parents. And so though they're a team, they're not necessarily a winning team. And sometimes they're not even a team with a concept that they are a team. But in the book, and we're going to get into our lesson, but in the book we deal with building a family that is a winning team. Success depends on team strategy. The husband is the coach. The wife is the quarterback. The husband is also the running back. That's an interesting chapter. Children are the team's rookies. Eagles should never link with turkeys. That's where we go to talking about singles. Forget not to communicate. You know, every team has to have a communication system. Cancellation of mistakes. Camaraderie belongs in the home. All of these are concepts that are relative to team. Camaraderie in the family. Contracts and compensations for the coach. What does a man really need from a wife and a family? Mm-hmm. The quarterback's requirements. And in the book, we liken the wife to the quarterback. Mm-hmm. We're going to deal with that today. Incentive plans, you know, security and acceptance. How to raise the rookies. Five keys to raising happy children. How to make the best of free agency when you're single. Choosing a team with a winning tradition. So all of those are chapters in the book. And honestly, we this is the first book we wrote. We thought it was out of print. And lo and behold, we run upon an amazing
quantity
of these books recently. So it's back up on Amazon for mm-hmm. those of you that may desire it. But for the family tonight, in this Bible study, let's just look at this. A winning team structure, God's playbook for winning family, a winning team structure. One of the great breakdowns in the modern family is poor structure. Mm-hmm. Any winning team has a solid and proven structure with clearly defined roles. You know, since we are a football family, and we come from the city of New Orleans, which is a, you know, has a winning tradition. And we liken that team to like Dallas Cowboys.
You know.
Where you don't really know who's doing what. You don't know if the owner is the coach. You know, you don't know what's going on. And so they collect all of this all of this talent, and they can't seem to ever really win. Mm-hmm. It's because there's no proven structure with clearly defined roles. And I have one of my sons in the room who's sitting at a distance, and he's a Dallas Cowboys fan, but I'm just telling the truth.
That's right.
I'm just telling the truth, JL. Read the definition of team, Lee.
So team defined, two or more persons united or working together in a coordinated effort. Two or more united as one in a common effort.
Now, the key word in that definition you just read mm-hmm. is united.
Right.
Just because you guys run to the altar and you have a ceremony
right.
does not mean that you're united.
That's right.
Now, the team concept was first applied to family before sports. Mm-hmm. When you look at the word, when you check out the etymological history of the word team, the concept of team was applied to the family long before there were organized sports.
Correct.
So any strife on a team or in a family always leads to defeat.
Defeat. And so just like you were saying, if the team is not united, so if you just bring it back to the sports arena or football, we can have all of the necessary components. We can have the quarterback, the running back, the receiver, everybody, all the line people. But if they are not united, mm-hmm. clearly they're going to get defeated.
They're going to be defeated. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, they're going to be defeated. You know, when you watch sports and you see a team begin to fall apart, especially like in basketball, mm-hmm. in football as well, and you see a team begin to fall apart, the first thing you hear the commentators say, and the commentators are usually people who have a sports background, they either played or they coached or something like that. The first thing you hear the commentators say is they're not talking.
Yeah.
They're not talking.
Yes.
You know, they're not
yes.
communicating. They're not communicating out there. It's because just because you wear the same uniform, mm-hmm. just because you're on the same sideline, does not mean you're unified. You're unified to the extent you have what? Ongoing
communication.
Mm-hmm. Now, in Genesis 1, 26 through 28, and you know, whenever we deal with family, relationships, marriage, what have you, it's impossible for me as a man of God, as a teacher of the Word of God, to escape Genesis, because I believe that Genesis is loaded with principles for all of us to govern our relationships by.
That's right.
And in Genesis 1, 26 through 28, it says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion, plural, over the fish of the sea, fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created him. Male and female created he them. God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So the family was designed, when you see that word dominion there,
that's right.
You know, when you see that word dominion, it means that God created the family, the marriage, which is where family starts. Mm-hmm. God created us. He designed us to win or to dominate.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
That's right.
We were not created to fail. We were not created to struggle. Not that we would not have seasons of testing. But the family, the marriage, was designed by God for the man and the woman to have dominion. And dominion is what I call a team sport. For me to have complete dominion in my life, it requires you.
Right.
For you to have complete dominion in your life, it requires me.
That's correct.
And you and I have gone through some of the most difficult seasons and things that any couple could endure.
Right.
But we've always gone through it with tears in eyes many days.
Yes.
But we've always come out on top.
That's right.
Because there's an anointing, there's a mandate on our union to dominate.
To win.
To win.
To win.
Mm-hmm. Now, today, we are confusing God's original design for the family with modern concoctions, you know. Mm-hmm. And the world has all different kinds of ideas about what family looks like and what family is. You know, you have swingers.
Mm-hmm.
What they call it, open marriages.
Open marriages.
Mm-mm. That ain't God.
Mm-hmm.
You have the idea now that you have the feminized man, and by that I'm not talking about sexual preference. He's a heterosexual, but he's feminized in the sense that he doesn't want to take on the responsibility. And you have masculinized women,
right,
who want to run the show and just want an additional son at home that they sleep with.
Right.
These are modern concoctions. Mm-hmm. This is not what God's word outlines.
I agree.
And if you look in Joshua 24:15-16, he says, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Now, what's the point there? Everybody has to be persuaded, fully persuaded by their own hearts relative to how your family is going to function.
Exactly. And we can't govern our family by outside opinions and other people's examples, and a lot of people have said and continue to say they wish that their marriage or their family looked like ours or was like ours. Mm. Every family is unique.
Absolutely.
And should have its own
DNA. And
mm-hmm.
and you see, that's such an important point to make, because you and I have very distinct personalities.
Correct.
And the reason our marriage and our family works is because we have, number one, we committed ourselves to doing it God's way.
Right.
Number two, we have respect for one another.
Mm-hmm.
And number three, we have patience with each other.
Yeah.
You know, everybody sees the product, you know, they see the end result, the production. They don't know
What we go through
uh-huh. personally, you know, because people believe that all you and I do is walk around grinning and smiling.
Yeah.
They don't understand we have days where we, you know, we ain't feeling one another like that.
That's right.
You know, and that's just the real thing.
But
we love one another.
That's right.
And we are committed to the team.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
And we understand that God joined us together for a purpose.
For a purpose.
And we made that commitment. our own marriage, we just said that divorce was not an option.
We said that.
And so therefore, everything that we go through, we make sure that we understand that the end result is that we win.
We win all the time.
We win all the time. So we might go to bed mad a little bit, but in the morning, we still win.
We still win. And we don't let anybody come between us.
That's right.
You know, our children can't come between us.
No.
Nobody gets between
Nobody.
You and I.
Nobody
gets. It's like Sean Payton and Drew Brees. Nobody gets between that connection.
That's right.
You know, it's like the Dallas Cowboys. We didn't know what was going on with their situation. But, you know, on a winning team, nobody. Okay. All right, let me come on back because I'm getting out of the spirit. The family is not to be guided by social trends. The family must be rooted in God.
Mm-hmm.
Most families are not united as one. The family, and as a result, the family is under satanic assault. And listen to what the Bible says in Luke 12:52-53. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter. Doesn't this look like families today?
Yeah.
And the daughter against the mother, the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law. And the daughter-in-law against her mother. Number one, you got too many people in here with voices.
Too many.
That's the number one problem up in here. You got children, you got in-laws, you got everybody up in here with these voices.
That's right.
Look what the Bible says in James 3:16. For where envying and strife is, there's confusion and what?
And strife.
Every evil work.
Yeah.
So now every team has an owner.
Mm-hmm.
Every team has an owner. I think Green Bay is the exception in the NFL where the city owns the team. But other than that, but even there, you still have an owner.
Mm-hmm.
Every team, every football team has an owner. God owns the family.
That's right.
God owns the family.
Uh-huh. And that has to be understood by everybody in the family.
God owns the family.
Mm-hmm.
Every team has designated positions. God is the owner, then there are designated positions. Winning teams have a specific playbook, and teams have definite roles. Now let's get into this, Lee. And
mm-hmm.
this is kind of delving into the book a little. When we first taught this and wrote this, a lot of the brothers were like, you know, well, okay, yeah. they like this part. The part they didn't like is the part we're going to get to the next point, number two, actually.
Right, right.
So y'all hang in there. But point number one, the husband is the coach.
Right. The husband is the coach because he is responsible to interpret and to communicate the playbook to the team. So what are we talking about, really? Vision.
Absolutely. We're talking about vision, you know. And we're talking about, from a Christian perspective, just from a general perspective, the husband is the coach because the coach on every team is the one that knows the playbook
mm-hmm.
and is capable of communicating that playbook to everybody involved.
Mm-hmm.
From the bench players to the starters, the coach knows the playbook and he can communicate to everybody what their role is, what their place is, and what they're supposed to be doing. If you want to bring it down into a Christian perspective, the husband is the one that should know the word of God.
That's right.
You know,
he's hearing from God.
He should be the one that's hearing from God.
Mm-hmm.
He should be the one that's able to say to the family, this is what God is saying.
Exactly.
And not from a beat, you know, a machismo, chauvinistic, male chauvinistic kind of place.
Right.
But from the perspective of a servant leader.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look in 1 Peter 3:7, it says, likewise, ye husbands dwell with them, the wife and the family, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Dwell with them according to knowledge. It's a pitiful team that has a coach that doesn't know the playbook.
It really is. It really is. And that's where you run into a lot of men getting disrespected by these women or wives because The man has no vision, no voice, no, he's not hearing from God, and he's not giving any direction. He's not interpreting the playbook as to where the family goes. And you know, one of the things that you often talk about in the dating arena is to make sure that as you're dating, this is from my single people.
That's good. As
you're dating, you are going to ask that person, what is your vision? What are your goals? What are your intentions for the future? Your five-year goals, your two-year goals, your five-year goals, your 10-year goals. And know that they have some plans for their lives as a single man, and then maybe as he joins to make a family. What are your plans for our family?
So the husband is the coach. Mm-hmm. There's more to being the head of a family than making love and money.
There's a lot more to it.
Yeah, you know, most dudes think that all it requires to be the head of a family is to be able to have sex
and bring home
a paycheck. Some of them don't even believe you need to bring home a paycheck. Just have good sex, you know. Yeah. But Adam had a full understanding. When you go back to Genesis, Adam had a full understanding of God before he had a wife or a family.
That's right. He had a relationship with God.
He had a relationship with God. He had a relationship with himself. He knew the world that God put him in. Mm-hmm. He knew his assignment.
That's right.
And then it was only after those things that God said, okay, it's not good that man should be alone.
Right.
I will now, because it is good for an ignorant man to be alone.
It really is. It really is. He should be alone.
It is good for an ignorant man to be alone. You know, an ignorant man cannot lead a family because, as you just said, his ignorance is going to breed disrespect. From the wife and the children, especially if the wife knows the playbook and he has no clue.
True. Because again, if you go back, the wife was also given the mandate by God to dominate.
That's exactly
so she
right.
has a mindset already. Okay, let's get it. Let's get it. Where are we going? What's happening? What are we doing? And if you have a man that's sitting there saying, duh.
That's right.
What you think?
I don't know. The husband, like a coach, should know the playbook better than everybody on the team.
Yes.
The husband, like the coach, should know the playbook better than everybody on the team. Mm-hmm. In Proverbs 4:1-2, it says, "Hear, my sons, the instruction of a father, and pay attention in order to gain and to know intelligent discernment." This is the Amplified Version. Mm-hmm. "Comprehension and interpretation of spiritual matters. For I give you good doctrine, what is to be received. Do not forsake my teachings." So, my teaching, the husband should know the playbook better than everyone on the team.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes men don't garner the respect from their wives because they are not leading spiritually.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that is just so key. In this world, because, you know, we have so many men that just, like you said, this macho, I got this, I know what I'm doing. And the one thing I love about our relationship is that even though you are clearly our coach, you are clearly the head of our house, you hear from God and you communicate what you think that should be happening, or you give direction as to what should be happening for our family. However, because of the respect that I have for you, you honor me.
Absolutely.
So that if I have some suggestion to maybe tweak something that you...
Absolutely. Or change it.
You are open to that because of the respect that I have for you as a man of, as my man of God, as my covering, as my husband. And so that's really important that that dynamic is understood, because he understood that God said, let them have dominion. And then he understood that God gave me as a helpmeet.
Mm-hmm. And eyes and vision as well.
Right.
Eyes and vision. Because sometimes Sean Payton will call a play and Drew Brees call a timeout and go to the sideline and say, you know. Or he'll just straight up call an audible, change it on the field.
Yeah.
And they have that kind of respect for one another. Sean Payton respects Drew's ability to see things that he may not see.
Yeah, he's on the ground.
He's on the ground. And Drew respects Sean's role and knowledge as a coach.
Mm-hmm.
But without knowledge, neither could respect the other.
Right.
You know, an ignorant man can't be respected by his woman, and an ignorant woman cannot be respected by a husband.
That's right.
So number two, Lee, the wife, so we said number one, the husband
is the coach.
What's number two, Lee?
The wife is the quarterback. The wife is the Drew Brees.
That almost created a riot years ago.
That's right.
This has been, what, 17 years ago that we first started teaching this.
Yeah.
Maybe 18 years ago we actually first started teaching it. This almost created a riot when we came out and said that the wife is the quarterback. What you mean? The wife is the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You got to follow the analogy, though. You have to follow the analogy. Everybody was cool when we said the husband is the coach. But when we said the wife is the quarterback, say, oh.
I had some issues.
Yeah,
some,
Reb, you
some
off
pushback
now.
On that.
Yeah, you ain't hear God on that. The wife is the quarterback because, read it, Lee.
Because the quarterback manages the team on the field. So it's like what we were just talking about. As the quarterback goes, so goes the team.
Absolutely. And so it is with the family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, while we are classical men, biblical men, while we're earning and while we're doing the things that we do, it is the wife who really has her hands on, usually,
the
children. It is the wife that has her hands wrapped around what the financial picture looks like.
Right.
And so the wife is the quarterback because the quarterback manages the team on the field.
That's right.
As the quarterback goes, so goes the team.
Mm-hmm.
Every wise coach, man, should choose a quarterback with the aptitude to produce his scheme.
That's correct.
If you are a man with a vision, you need a wife that has the aptitude, the intellect, the spirituality to produce, to take what you see in your spirit and reproduce it on the field of your family. Mm-hmm. You see, every man has to have that. The first thing I did on social media that trended, I think right now it has like 1.7 million views. It was a short video, and I was talking about, I forget exactly what it was, but it was on Facebook. It's on Facebook, and I was talking about every man needs a woman that can help him.
That's right.
You know, and people just chimed in on that. Every man should be wise enough, every wise coach should choose a quarterback, a wife, with the aptitude to produce his scheme.
That's right.
There's nothing like having a fine, pretty,
empty-headed,
you said it, limited woman that can do nothing
to help you.
To help you. You know, mm-hmm. And I know y'all into thighs and eyes and tips and lips, but bruh, you're going to need a woman that can take and put some numbers together. You're going to need a woman that can look at your credit score and figure out what's going on and clean your credit up. You're going to need a woman that can know how to talk to the bank. You're going to need a woman that can get your children in the kind of schools. And you're going to need a woman that can sit down and help your children do that homework that you know you can't help them do. You're going to need a woman that know how to dress you sometime for that interview you're getting ready to have.
Amen.
Because the wife is the quarterback because the quarterback manages the team on the field.
That's right.
And nobody has the anointing to manage a family, the day-to-day, the in and outs of a family, like a wife. And the Bible says in Proverbs 14:1, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. But the wise woman does what?
Builds the house. She takes the house and she makes it a home.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the wife, like the quarterback, has a unique connection to the coach, an exclusive connection, actually. Nobody else has this
mm-hmm.
kind of connection.
Mm-hmm.
The coach sends in the plays and the quarterback communicates it to the team and actually produces the coach's vision.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Payton can't throw no touchdowns.
Cannot.
But he can send that. See, on the side of Drew Brees' helmet, there's this little thing where Sean Payton can talk directly to Drew
mm-hmm.
and say, Drew, this is what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And then Drew can look to the sideline, and you can see him talking back to him. And they're communicating one-on-one. Sean can't throw those passes. He cannot throw those. He don't know nothing about no timing. He knows about a timing route, but he can't execute it.
That's right.
But he has a quarterback on the field that can produce the vision he sees.
That's correct.
So the wife is
the quarterback of the family. She produces the vision of the husband for the family.
Wow.
She produces it. She makes it
reality.
Manifest.
Reality. Well, it's kind of like
a baby.
It's kind of like a baby. A man is, God gives a man seed.
He plants it.
He gives a woman womb.
Mm-hmm.
Seed, womb.
Mm-hmm.
Seed, soil.
That's right.
It doesn't matter how great the seed is. If there's no soil, there will be no production.
There will be none.
And so it is in the family. A man has to choose a woman that has the potential to take what he has in the spirit and bring that
Absolutely.
Thing to life in the earth. And then the world looks at this man and the world says, oh, he's a great man. He's a great man. And this old saying is, behind every great man is a great woman. But the reality is, beside every great man is a great woman. Now, let's see something, Lee. The wife is the quarterback of the family. She produces the vision of the husband for the family. So there's no competition.
None.
There's no competition. This building I'm sitting in, my wife built this building. I don't know about plans. There's a building we have in East New Orleans back in 2003, 2004, whenever it was.
Yeah.
My wife built that building with the... I don't know nothing about... And people say, oh, look at him. He's a builder. I don't. All I know about it is to put the hat on and have the groundbreaking and take pictures. I got pictures in my office. I don't know about building no building. But God gave me a wife. Now, let me read this partly, and then we'll move on to point three. Mm-hmm. Submission is about the wife getting beneath the family mission. That's what submission is. Everybody gets in a tizzy about the term submission, beneath mission.
Mm-hmm.
But the wife can, okay, submission is not something that should be forced. Submission is something that should flow naturally.
That's right.
A wife can submit to a mission.
Yes.
It is, when a man finds himself having to force his wife to submit, it simply means he has not sold her on the mission. When the woman sees the mission, she will get beneath the mission, not for the sake of the man beating his chest saying, well, I'm the boss. No, no, no. For the sake of the advancement of the family, for the sake of dominion, God's original agenda for the family to win.
And so let's just make it real clear, like you were talking about these buildings. I did not go to construction school or contractor school or any of that. But I saw your vision. And because I am your wife and your helpmeet, I took it upon myself to learn what needed to happen to make the vision come to pass.
That's exactly what you did. I would cry about it at home. Oh, I don't know what we're going to do. Lord, I don't know what to do. People trying to rip us off and all of that. My wife said, let me take this. And my wife's Jamaican, you know. So you know, we have some days up in now. You know, we got to. Let me take it. Them people know. Let me take it. I'm sitting there looking, and lo and behold, you know, she come back. She got answers to problems.
Mm-hmm.
God plants in a man's wife his favor, but a man has to be big enough to extract it.
Wow.
If you're sitting there and you competing with your wife and you feel like your manhood is being challenged because God, your wife has something that you don't have and God is using your wife to make you look good, that's a blockhead, bro. Mm. That's a blockhead all day long, 24/7 in any part of the world. That's a blockhead.
Absolutely.
Look what the Bible says in Proverbs 31, 10 and 11 in Amplified. It says, a capable, intelligent, and virtuous woman, who is he who can find her? She is far more precious than jewels, and her value is far above rubies or pearls. The heart of her husband trusts in her confidently and relies on and believes in her securely so that he has no lack of honest gain or need of dishonest spoil. All right, Lee, our time is running, so we got two more. Let's try to get this done. Number three.
All right, the number three, the children are the rookies. The children are the rookies. The rookies are players in training. They sit on the bench and observe the veterans.
Mm-hmm. And the Bible says in Proverbs 22 and 6, train up a child in the way he should go, And when he is old, he will not depart from it. One of the main ways we train our children is by our example, as man and wife, or man and woman, as husband and wife. Mm-hmm. Our children should learn what it means to be a man by observing the father.
Correct.
A woman by observing the mother. What it means to be a husband by observing the father's treatment of the wife. But what it means to be a wife by observing the father's or the wife's treatment of the father. Mm-hmm. You see, that's where we learn. This is why children are so confused. You know, they don't have a clue relative to roles. They're sexually confused because they see a man hanging around, you know, no sense of leadership, no sense of direction, nothing. And then they see women that are just running the show, talking to the man like he's
so
everybody's confused. So training the children in the way they should go, the children being the rookies sitting on the bench watching, we do this by our examples. In Titus 2, 1 through 6, it says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober minded." So we train the rookies by our example.
So what you're saying is, as parents, you don't sit up, your children come in and you're just using all this old foul language and cussing each other and cussing the children and all this and expect to have children that are trained up in the way that they should go.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, we should provide the best example for our kids.
Right.
You know, like you and I have had arguments, but we've always kept our children out of that.
That's correct.
You know, and our arguments never get to a place where, or should I say, rarely have our arguments gotten to a place where we can't have it in a room and somebody else be in the house.
That's right.
And, you know, nobody knows what we're talking about because we don't raise our voices like that, and we don't use language that, you know. So training the children, you have to understand that the way we interact with one another is the training of the rookies.
Right.
And in number four, Lee, and let's get out of here.
The singles are the free agents. The singles are the free agents.
Yeah, the singles are the free agents. Now, the free agents are qualified players that are just not under contract. They are waiting on the right team to join their talents to.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like when LeBron James said, I'm taking my talents to South Beach. Well, he was a free agent.
Right.
He wasn't committed to any team, and he made his decision relative to where his talents would best suit and where he could bring his talents and meet his own personal goals. And so that's the singles.
And just understand this, even as a free agent, you're still a winner. So you have to have that mindset of a winner, even as a free agent, so that when you get joined or sign contracts with somebody, you already know, like, we're coming in this to win together now.
That's right. Well, you know what's interesting, and I think when we first taught this, and it may be in the book, actually, but I know we dealt with it when we taught it. When you are a free agent, you got to work out like you're under contract.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You got to actually be in better shape than the people who are under contract.
So what we're saying is you're in preparation. I tell my single women all the time, are you preparing for a husband? You're praying and asking God for a husband, but your house is not clean.
That's right.
You have not cooked a meal in however long. You don't even know how to cook.
Don't know how to cook.
You know, but you are a free agent sitting there praying for a husband.
Are you a man praying for a wife and don't have a job?
Don't have a job and have no interest in getting a job.
Have no interest in getting a job, just sitting there on your do nothing, just spreading out, doing absolutely nothing, praying for a wife No, you praying for a sponsor. Mm-hmm. That's what you praying mm-hmm. for.
Somebody to take care of you like your mama.
You uh-huh. ain't praying for no wife. You praying for a sponsor. So the singles are the free agents. And let's read this. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness?" Mm-hmm. That's talking to singles. Don't yoke yourself to somebody that does not fit into your future.
That's right.
And the wisdom of this text, watch this, is not that you go and yoke and then discover that, oh, we're unequal. You're supposed to be wise enough as a free agent to know that's not a team I fit on.
That's right.
And move on down the road and keep working out, keep taking care of yourself, and wait until you find the team that you actually fit into. And from there, the rest is history.
That's right.
So, Lisa, I enjoyed this. Anything you want to say before we let them go? I thought this would just be a great thing since the families are at home.
And that's exactly right. As you are home now, it's time to kind of take the time to evaluate or reevaluate your positions as family members. Because, you know, really, life just causes families to kind of just kind of drift a little bit. Everybody's doing their own thing and all of that kind of thing. I think that during this time of social isolation or staying home with your families is giving us social distancing. It's giving every family the opportunity, giving you the opportunity to really just get to re-know your family and just revise some things. As the husband, you can reevaluate your vision and where we're going and make some new plans or even update the current plans. But this is a great time to be able to just get that family back on track to winning. Mm-hmm.
Father, we thank you for this time that we've had together with your people. And God, we pray that you have allowed wisdom to seep into their hearts and to take over their worlds and to take over their families and their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. Well, we've enjoyed this time. Anything else you want to say, Lee?
We are always in our prayers. We love you so much. Can't wait to see you soon.
I understand now why I created such an alliance a few months ago with BetterHelp. Those of you that are feeling extremely anxious and you feel the need for someone to talk to, there's a link in the bio to BetterHelp. I think they're the largest online counseling agency, licensed counselors, someone that you can have help you through these difficult and anxious times. There's a link in the description. If that's something you feel like you need, I want you to call or link up with them and let's press our way through this. But in the meantime, know that we love you. We're praying for you. And as a nation, as a world, really, we're going to get through this together. I'm R.C. Blakes saying to you once more and again, you're on top and you're going higher. God has more in store for you. I love you. Pray for me. I'll pray for you. God bless you.
If you would like more information or for other resources, please visit us on the web at rcblakes.com.